whole lot of talk. The interviews that rock. Brought to you by Rock Antenna, Germany's number one rock radio station.
Hello, sirs. How are you?
Ooh, better only to tell you. Not bad.
Very nice.
Where are you?
I'm fine. I'm hanging in there. You know, I'm a regular worker. I'm not a rock superstar. It's a little bit different. But we talked a couple of years ago when Infinite came out. And I guess it's just true. You guys are going to be there forever. You're going to record forever. Deep Purple is never going to go away. Am I correct?
Yes.
Yeah.
It's amazing. Your new record is it just feels like when you listen to it, just it's like one jam, 3 days, 13 songs, probably another 13 songs somewhere in the back. You never seem to run out of ideas. How do you do it?
Luck. the whole thing about Purple is it's based on music. It's not based on celebrity or fame or any of the other things you think of, but it's really down to music. And when we get together, we just have genuine fun, you know, exploring stuff. Now that we have a new guitarist, it's even funnier. I mean, no, it's even more fun.
How much of Simon is in this record already?
Tons, yeah. He's a guitar player. How could he, he's got to be out front.
It's a rock band.
Yeah.
Well, you know, Mr. Airy, there's a lot of duels in this record, on this record, between guitar and yourself. So did you determine beforehand who's going to win this?
No, I thought I might come a good second.
Well, Simon's been in Don Airy's band for God knows a decade or so. So they know each other really well.
Yeah.
It's kind of a natural thing.
Yeah. I like the end of, I think one of my favorite tracks now is Show Me. And it wasn't a song I liked at all when we did it. I thought it was, this is awful. But the solos are really good. It's like, they just brought out the Mini Moog again. They found some components and they made an old Mini Moog. So I just taken delivery of it from Steve's music store in Toronto. So I was really eager to get on it. And it was just like old times for me. Playing the Moog and having the guitar come back and playing a line at the end, both together.
Yeah, it's a beautiful record. But did it take a long time for you guys to really record and think about it, or was it just really just the fun part? Well, fun part takes time too. I mean,
recording took a long time, 11 days.
it's insane.
15 tracks in 11 days. But of course, we had some rehearsals beforehand. Yeah, we had writing sessions, a couple of writing sessions where we kind of sort everything out. But by the time we get to record, we don't really know the stuff that well.
Yeah.
It's still, the seat of your pants time, And that's maybe what gives it the sort of energy.
That's what it sounds like. It sounds like a huge, giant, enormous jam session. But then again, you must have the songs worked out that just, a little, just to know what you're doing there.
Oh, we're professional. Yes.
When we talked last time, we talked about the record title Infinite.
The main trouble with the songs is that when you're jamming and running so quick, each song has a nickname. Bit on the Side was called... You're mine.
Yeah. Hey, wish you hadn't started this.
All the songs had other names.
Yeah.
And of course, when Gillan starts writing the lyrics, they have their proper titles. But you're confused. Which one's Bit on the Side? I've never heard this before. Oh, yeah.
I can't remember what it was called now.
Down on Porch My Farm. What's his name?
Oh, Mose Allison.
Mose Allison. That track was called Mose Allison.
For no reason.
Okay, what was the track Lazy Sod called before?
I can't remember.
No. I thought for a moment you're not going to be covering the Sex Pistols now, but you weren't, obviously. We have to talk about the record title. What does it mean, Equal One?
We're hoping you tell us. I was at a pub quiz once in Erfurt. with the lighting, our lighting guy, we're in a pub. And they said, do you want to join in the pub quiz? And this is in Germany. We'll do the questions in English. No, yeah, we're joining. You know, now a pub quiz in England is, where did Elvis Presley live? This pub quiz started. What is the atomic number of nitrogen? So I looked at Louis. I don't know. And all we saw, everybody else in the box scribbling away. And it was all these questions. And eventually we just, I don't have a bloody clue about this. Things are different here. So I was hoping you'd be able to tell us what that equation is. No?
Oh, dear Lord, I know I'm German, but, you know, you cannot know everything. I'm sorry for that. But it's nice to feel that British people have or think that Germans are more intelligent. I like that. But but there must be some idea behind the record title.
It's actually Ian Gillan's curiosity. Mm-hmm. But I don't know where this came from. He thought, I wonder how big an equation you can get where the answer equals one. And so he got hold of a friend of his who's a mathematician and said, yeah, can you do that? And that's the equation that's on the record. And I was in a writing session with him, and lyrics,
yeah,
down where he lives. And he showed me this. It was an interesting thing to show me, you know. Oh, look what I found, you know. And we talked about it, and I thought, well, actually, I like that, you know. We couldn't figure out what to actually call it yet. But I just looked at the equals and the one. I thought, that's great, you know. It's different. It just went on from there, really. And it's up to anyone's imagination about what it means.
Such as whoosh was.
Another thing about it is, it leaves plenty of room on the record covers for us to sign them.
That's true. How much of the new material are you going to perform live?
Well, it's gradually we're going to be adding it. It's difficult to sort of do something before the album actually comes out.
Yeah.
So we'll be adding things. You know, in the course of the tour, we'll be adding a lot more.
Was there ever a concern after Steve quitting that the chemistry in the band would change so much that it wouldn't work?
No.
Oh, no.
You know, how can you be so pure optimistic?
Can't stand auditions.
Yeah.
And because Simon had been with Don for so many years, and Ian Gillan had worked with the Don Airey band years ago, so, yeah, we were aware of Simon. We were all very impressed with him, and so there was no conversation about it, really. It seemed like it's such a natural thing. We said to Simon, or you said to Simon, do you fancy joining the band? And he said, yeah, okay. And that was it. You know.
Has he signed a contract already?
Contract?
I cannot imagine Simon being that calm about joining the greatest hard rock band in the world.
He joined us instead. What you don't know about Simon, what I certainly didn't know until I met him, was he's a great mix of confidence and humility.
Okay.
He just takes things in his stride, and he doesn't seem to get worried about anything. And it's a great thing to do. The first gig we did with him in Tel Aviv last year, was it?
Yeah.
First song, Highway Star. When it came to the solo, he was standing at the back like, you know, we all do in a row. But when it came to the solo, he strode right to the front of the stage, stood there, and just said, basically he didn't say it, but he said, this is who I am, take it or leave it. You know, and just wailed away, you know, and I thought, wow. I was just moved by that. I thought it was great.
Yeah.
So, yeah, he's got the confidence, and we've got the confidence in him too.
Aww. Do you actually know how many records you did, including the new one, studio records?
Is that 18 records?
I think it's 23. This is the 23rd.
Oh,
I guess you're correct. Yeah.
I don't count them. It's just I learned that from an interview yesterday.
But that's amazing, because it seems like whatever merits you get and whatever you've achieved, it doesn't really matter so much to you, it seems like. But does it? Does it actually matter? Do you go like, well, I'm in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame and you're not? Or do you go like, I don't care?
The whole thing about, I wanted to be, when I was in a band in the 60s, I wanted to be number one. I wanted a number one hit. Mm-hmm. And my life would be golden from then on, yeah, which is a dream of a teeny boy, you know. And we tried, we recorded 9 singles, none of which made it. But there were songs that we thought would be number one. We just, they, other people wrote, I wrote a couple, but mostly other people's songs.
Yeah.
And through the weird circumstances of 1969, I ended up in Deep Purple without really knowing what Deep Purple was. And it was the opposite. They weren't interested in success. They weren't interested in radio play. They weren't. They were just interested in making music.
Yeah.
Ah, great. And that's when success came.
Yeah.
That's really the ethos of the band is really music. It's all the other things that go along with it we have to put up with.
Pacey told me a great story about the first time the band played in Glasgow.
Oh, yeah.
At Barrow Arms. It's a famous gig. Yeah. So you turned up and there was huge traffic jams. Oh, what's going on here? You know, and thousands of people. And Pacey thought it was a football match or something, but it wasn't. It was people queuing up to get in to see Deep Purple.
Yeah.
And that was the first time the band really, oh, it's for us.
No, actually, I remember that.
Yeah.
The Soggy Hall Street.
Yeah.
And they closed the street.
Yeah.
Thousands of people outside. Well, they changed the venue because, you know, they needed a bigger venue. And it made the evening papers. And Gillan came on stage with the evening papers and said, look, you know, you've made the papers. And so have we. And that was the first time I heard Deep Purple Mania.
Yeah, yeah.
In the music press. That was 69.
I mean, you guys know each other inside out and upside down. But when it comes to writing music, Is there a driving force within the band that goes like, come on, let's do this now and let's do it like that?
I think we all do it.
Yeah.
We all do it.
Pacey plays a big part in that. He catches on very quickly to something. And he often says, if he doesn't think something's working, he says, nah, it ain't working, that bit. And he's usually right, actually.
Not always.
Not always, no. It has to be said. A specific reference to the other day.
The whole writing thing is shared by all of us because no matter who got first thought, we all join in. And because you're there in the room, even if you say, no, I don't like it, try something else, that's also part of the writing process, strangely enough.
Yeah.
And you can't, if all I wrote the middle eight or I wrote this chord here, it's bitty, it's petty, it's useless. So a long time, even in the early part of Purple, we had everyone writes. It changed when Gillan and I left and Richie took over. And when Steve joined the band 28 years ago or more, we went back to 5 of us. We're all together. We have to write together. And I think that's the best way to do it because it takes away all the jealousy, all the politics about, you know, who write what. And it's immaterial.
Or good material.
Yeah.
How many years did it take you to come to a level like that?
Well, that was in 69.
Quite.
I just forget about this question. Deep Purple live is always something where you cannot really expect how long a show takes and what you guys are doing on stage. But it's always a show usually that lasts about 2 hours. Is that still possible? And I'm not going to be offensive or anything, but in this day and age, are you going like, oh, we're going to tone it down a little bit. You know, 90 minutes is enough.
Oh, yeah, 90 minutes is what you aim for. It often goes on for 2 hours. I mean, I wouldn't like to do what Springsteen does, but come on stage for 3 hours, you know. Oh, my God. It must be dreadful.
I saw Bruce Springsteen in New York years ago. 4 hours on stage.
Imagine if you're in this band, 4 hours on that.
I'm getting no toilet breaks.
Has touring become more difficult and more exhausting?
It's always exhausting, but it's easier than it used to be because now we're in the mainstream of the entertainment world.
Yeah.
Whereas before, it wasn't always easy to get into a hotel. The banks didn't want to know. I don't know, you're regarded as something outside of society, but now we're kind of part of it.
Finally.
Yeah, it's made it a lot easier. You know, you don't feel so out of place as one used to. Well, I did.
We used to share bedrooms in cheap hotels, and you know, we look after ourselves a bit better now. So, but it's always exciting to go on. Not many people have two lives like we do.
Yeah.
You know, live with the band and then home. You know, they don't very rarely touch each other.
Which life is better?
Don't get me into trouble with my wife.
I mean, the best thing my wife says she sees is two big suitcases in the hall. That means I'm going out, my money's coming in.
I'm just popping out for about 5 months.
4 months. Good. Don't forget to phone slam.
It's so insane talk to you guys. How many songs have you written for Equal One or Equals One?
15. 15. I think, yeah, one spare. That maybe a B-side sometime. I don't know.
Okay, so there's not much in the vault.
After 11 days doing 15 tracks, how much more do you want?
You could have added another day, but anyway.
We could release the writing sessions. Not very well recorded, but they're there.
It's crazy, but obviously, I think you've heard this question after every record that you did in the last in the previous years, but is this going to be your last record? Is it going to be more?
Yeah, well, we always think that the next record's going to be the last one until the next one after that, and the next one after that. Can we just can't stop?
Yeah, it's crazy. So it's infinite.
It's not, please stop.
You'll stop soon enough if people don't want to hear you.
Well, the demand is still there.
It's really down to the public. You're right,
Bob. Well, it's down to business, isn't it? It's not really, you think as a band that you're in charge of everything, but you're not at all. You know, you just kind of do what you're told. And because you like doing, you do it.
Yeah.
Because playing music live is the best thing for yourself and for anybody watching you. And that's the only way really that music exists is it as you play it. You know, for people getting together and playing, and there's something magical about it, and that's very good for you and very good for anybody listening. And as long as people want you to do that, it's very hard to say, no, I don't want to do that anymore, because it's such a wonderful thing to be able to do, you know. That's what I think.
Yeah, the heart of Deep Purple is playing live.
Yeah.
Every now and again, we go in a studio and make a record, which is, sometimes a bit of a drag to do, but you have to do that. But it's being live. That's where we really exist. Always was that way.
You know, the band Deep Purple changed its members over all the decades. But would there be one point in time when, let's say, Pacey leaves, where you go like, and this is it? It's not Deep Purple anymore.
You're absolutely right.
No one wants to stop. That's the bottom line.
Yeah.
At some point, we may be forced to stop, and that's it.
Okay. I have no more further questions, Your Honor.
Well, we run out of answers as well. So. Yeah.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
It was an honor and a pleasure and fun as usual talking to you guys. And good luck with the new record and with everything else.
Thank you, mate. Nice chat. It was great.
Whole lot of talk. The interviews that rock. Subscribe to our channel for more rocking podcasts.